السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، respected brothers and our sisters listening at the madrasa and over receivers, over the past few weeks or throughout the month of Ramadan, we were discussing akhlaq. That is the most important thing in the life of a Muslim. If his akhlaq comes right, then only he will be an attraction towards Islam. He will become a magnet. But if the akhlaq is not right, then neither will the wife be attracted, nor will the children be attracted, nor will the neighbors be attracted, nor will the Muslims or non-Muslims be attracted towards Islam or deen or sharia. There will be no respect that the person will enjoy without akhlaq. Of course, an understanding of akhlaq is essential and necessary. It does not mean that every person who speaks very softly, gently, bows his head down, and irrespective of what you do in front of him, it doesn't cause him any anger. The parents are not angered by their children's indulgence in watching the filth on the television screen, or engaging in other kind of haram activities, or missing their salat, not going to the masjid. So we say those parents got a lot of akhlaq. Their akhlaq is outstanding, of a very high caliber, that they just don't get angry. Now we won't say that is akhlaq. It is part of akhlaq that sometimes the person has to get angry. But where he should get angry, how much of anger, how much of it should he give vent to, what words should he use when he is angry, now all those things will form part of akhlaq. We have discussed that to some extent. Now Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi Muslim Ul Ummati says, فرماتے تھے کہ اس زمانے میں خیر و شر کی تمیز اٹھ چکی ہے، چنانچہ ہر طرف بد اخلاق صاحب سلطنت ہے، وہ جو چاہے کرے کوئی چوں چرا نہیں کر سکتا. Either if you have to look at the government level, then the people of the worst akhlaq have been given the highest positions. That differentiation is gone. That fine line that was there has disappeared, of differentiating between good and bad, between truth and falsehood, between ignorance and knowledge, light and darkness. We have lost that tamiz, that ability to differentiate. Because when a whole ummah, when a whole community, when a whole nation begins indulging in vices, in evils, immorality, immodesty, obscenity, shamelessness, indecency, when a whole nation, whole ummah, whole group, whole parties start indulging, then you lose sight of what the teachings of Islam and Sharia are. It becomes a norm of society. And this is our major weakness, that we have accepted those things as norms in our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, which Shariat, which the Quran Sharif, which the Ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared as immodest, declared as obscene and shameless. We have accepted it as our norm. A person just doesn't even blink an eyelid when he is watching all those things happening right in his very home, in the family, in the children's lives. Then he just takes it for granted that these are all things that do happen in a society, and especially in modern day society. These things are natural. There's nothing to get angry over it. If it is winter time and the person's child is fast asleep and is of age, namaz has become farz upon him. Now instead of getting that child up, the father will go away to the masjid. The mother will make a salat if they are namazis. If they are not, then of course they won't bother. But if they are, then they will go away. But what they will do, they will put one extra blanket on that child. Don't disturb him because he's got to go to school in the morning. He's got to go to school in the morning. Now if he's going to get up early in this winter time and go to the masjid, so then he will not be able to concentrate on the school lessons. This is our attitude. How many parents say that? That it is summer time now. Fajr Salat is at 4:15. So now don't disturb that child. Don't get him up. He has been studying till late night. And now if you're going to get him up, tomorrow he's going to write examination. So don't disturb him. Let him sleep. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this is what he means, that tamiz has gone, the differentiation, that understanding also of what is good and bad has vanished. We are only concerned about the dunya of the child, that the child must not lose out, he must not fail in his examination, or he must not lose concentration on his lessons because he's in grade 10 and grade 12, or he's doing some very high degree studies. But we forget that if he has that connection with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that will bring success in his life. Otherwise he will get degrees, he'll get qualification, but that same child will then become a pain in the neck for those parents. That same child. That child who we did not encourage to make amal on deen, on sharia, on Quran, on sunnah, then that child, where is he going to fulfill the rights of parents? So all the problems that we are experiencing, we are the major cause of that problem. We are the cause. Parents just do not want to get up for fajr. They do not want to make the islah. They do not want to give up their haram earnings. They don't want to give up their indulgences in all kinds of evils and vices. So then we have to face the consequences. Then we have to blame nobody but ourselves. فرماتے تھے کہ یہ فساد کا دور ہے جو شخص جس کام پر معمور ہے اس کو انجام نہیں دینا چاہتا اسی لئے ہمارے مراکز بھی فاسد ہو رہے ہیں لوگوں کا عجیب حال ہے کہ کام نہیں کرنا چاہتے بلکہ الٹے کام کو بگاڑنا چاہتے ہیں مگر ان کو کوئی کچھ کہہ نہیں سکتا بلکہ الٹے یہ لوگ اپنے فساد کی تنخواہ بھی لینا چاہتے ہیں. That is our situation. This is a door of fasad. This is an age of fitna. It is an age of mischief, corruption, fasad. That is this age. The person who has been appointed, or the person who has been given responsibility, the person who has some duties, some obligations, then he doesn't want to fulfill it. He does not want to do that work which has been given to him, for which he is expecting a salary. In whichever institution he may be, in whichever business he may be, in whichever work and occupation he may be, the person is given a certain salary to do a certain piece of work. So now he's talking about the majority. We're not talking about the small exception or minority. So they don't want to do that. They don't want to fulfill the obligation that is upon them. In fact, what they work towards is creating more fitna and more mischief and more corruption. And if the work is going straight, then they want to put it in reverse direction. They want to cause harm. Instead of making it progress, they want to regress. And he says, this is what is happening in even our religious and dini institutions. That people have entered these institutions who do not have a sense of responsibility. And as a result, then we get nothing but fitnas. As I said, all this deals with akhlaq. If we get our akhlaq right, then we'll get everything right. Indeed, we have to have two hands to clap. But the thing is that if every individual fulfills his obligation, there is a corresponding right. But if all of us fulfill our obligation, our duties, then there will be automatically peace, automatically happiness. He says, آپ لوگوں سے کہتا ہوں کہ اپنے متعلقین اور اہل خانہ وغیرہ سے نرمی کا برتاؤ کیجئے. اسی میں فلاح ہے. چنانچہ میں لوگوں سے کہتا ہوں کہ بھائی اگر تم اپنے اہل خانہ کو بد خلق بد سلیقہ بد نظم دیکھتے ہو تو تم اخلاق اختیار کرو اور اپنے اندر نظم سلیقہ کو لا کر اپنے نظام خانہ داری کو درست کرو ورنہ اگر ان کے ساتھ تم بھی بد سلیقہ اور بد نظم ہو گئے تو پھر گھر کا کیا حشر ہوگا تمہارا گھر دوزخ کا نمونہ بن جائے گا آج جو گھر گھر فساد ہے اس کی وجہ یہی ہے کہ لوگ سب بد اخلاق ہو گئے کوئی شخص کسی کی بات برداشت کرنے کے لیے تیار نہیں ہے says everyone is complaining people in the house are bad akhlaq they haven't got any kind of fulfillment of rights and obligations and duties or they are not efficient they do not have any kind of management in their life they are not disciplined the person is complaining about his wife she is not disciplined she doesn't have any kind of management she doesn't have control of her temper, she doesn't have this, she doesn't have that. He gives a whole list of what the children are doing and what the wife is doing. So he says, if you are also going to become like them, those whom you are complaining about, if you become like them, then what is going to be the condition of your house after that? If both are going to become bad akhlaq, the person whom you are complaining about and yourself, if both become bad akhlaq, so then what is going to be the condition of your house? It's going to be Jahannam on earth, hellfire on earth. That is what it will then become. So you should change your akhlaq. Learn some kind of tolerance. Exercise patience. Learn to control the anger. If a person is of major age, the person is an adult, and you have explained to the person this is wrong, that is right, but the person still goes on, then you don't have to throw that person out of the house. Because if that child is going to go away out of the house, then the child will end up somewhere in the beachfront and get caught up with drugs or get to some rave club or will start indulging in other kinds of evils which will sometimes even damage the person's iman very seriously. So keep making nasihat with politeness, but with love and with compassion. The reason why people are not accepting our nasihat is that there is no compassion behind it. Most of it is due to the anger of our nafs. That our nafs is angry. That I am the senior person and this person don't want to listen to me. That's the anger. I am the husband and the wife doesn't want to listen to me. I am the father and my son doesn't want to listen to me. Or the mother says, I am the mother and the daughter doesn't want to listen to me or the son don't want to listen to me. I am the elder brother and my brother, younger brother doesn't want to listen to me. I am the boss and my staff don't want to listen to me. So most of it is due to that anger. It's not a question of compassion, love. The person, if he has love and compassion, I'm talking about in dini matters, even other matters too, but particularly in dini matters, is a person with sincere love and sincere compassion and kindness and truly desirous that this person must come on track, makes nasihat and follows it up with dua, then inshallah there is great hope that if this person does not accept it now, then sooner or later he'll accept it and he'll bring about a change. But if the person just does it as a duty that I have to say something and just says it, then you won't find much changes coming. So he says, change your akhlaq. If others are behaving badly, if others are not disciplined, if others are behaving in a manner that is not befitting, so then why should you behave in the same manner? فرماتے تھے کہ لوگوں نے اپنی بد اخلاقیوں کی وجہ سے اپنے گھروں کو تو فاسد کر ہی لیا ہے, اب ہماری جگہوں کو بھی فاسد کرنے چل پڑے ہیں. گویا بزبان حال کہتے ہیں کہ آخر یہ جگہ کیوں محفوظ رہے ہیں, ہمارا کمال تو یہی ہے کہ ان مراکز کو بھی فاسد کر دے تاکہ آخرت میں پورے پورے وبال و عذاب کے ہم مستحق ہو جائے. He says they spoiled the environment of their homes. Their homes they destroyed. It got polluted due to their akhlaq. There's no peace and happiness. There's no contentment. There's no satisfaction. There is no unity in the homes because of the akhlaq. So now where else are they going to show their strength and their courage and their power, that they are somebody, they have to show it somewhere. So the only place they then find are dini institutions, the masajid, the madaris, the khanqas, all these type of institutions. Then that is where they show this power and the strength. And what do? There, that same mischief and that same corruption which they have in their homes, of fights and arguments and quarrels and indiscipline, they bring it into the masjid. You will find an effect of that same environment which is at home in so many masajid, in the parking lot, in the wuzu khanas, in the congregation when you are making your subs, or in many other matters. The person will bring that same akhlaq of the house into the masjid. So all this is due to that poor character, poor conduct. So he says they have destroyed their homes, but now they want to destroy the sukoon of the masajid, of the madaris, of the darul ulooms. They will aspire to become trustees of such institutions, of darul ulooms even, although they may not have even the basic knowledge of Sharia. And after that, they will try to rule. And the people who are running those institutions, many of them also haven't made their islah. So now you will have a boxing match. And we don't know for how many rounds it lasts. And who will give the final uppercut on the lower jaw. We don't know. It will carry on. Fasad and mischief has become like a ghiza. It has become our food. Like how we cannot do without breakfast, lunch and supper. In the same way, it seems that many of us cannot do without fasad, without mischief. We want to make everybody's islah, but we haven't made islah of our own nafs. We want to change the condition of people around the world, but this little world of ours, this body that Allah Ta'ala has given us, in which world we also have the sun and the moon, the two eyes, in which we also have rivers and lakes, in which we also have sweet water, salty water and polluted water. We have the sweet saliva and we have the salted tears and we have the urine. This little world that Allah Ta'ala has given us, we also have some mountains and some hills. So we are not prepared to change this little world of ours. Whereas the happiness of the family, the happiness amongst brothers, the happiness amongst brothers and sisters, parents and children, husbands and wives, it all depends on the akhlaq and the character of the person. It depends on that. And if we are not going to change it, then we are going to be the losers. It is becoming sickening, honestly I'm telling you, it's becoming sickening. It's just like fire is burning the homes of people. Wealth is not bringing happiness. Huge mansions are not bringing happiness. Oil wells are not bringing happiness. Gold and silver is not bringing happiness. It's nothing but facade, nothing but mischief and corruption, nothing but fights, quarrels and arguments. What do we get in it? Some kind of enjoyment do we get? As I said, it has become our ghiza, our food. It gives us great enjoyment. How we enjoy biryani in some walima or wedding. So like that we enjoy. But this enjoyment, as I mentioned the other night also, is like that enjoyment that the person gets if he's got a rash on his hand. The scratching of that, the person gets enjoyment. It is as if now the wedding is going to take place, then there will be walima after that, just keep on scratching. Then when blood starts coming out and it turns septic, now they say must amputate, take, cut off. That time the person realizes that that enjoyment was just temporary. So that's the kind of enjoyment in arguments, in quarrels and in fights. That's the kind of enjoyment the person gets. Na jalebi mein, na kaleji mein maza hai, jo khujli ke khujlane mein maza hai. The enjoyment that you get, you don't even get in jalebi. So facade. And if you are not going to get rid of that facade, then no one else except ourselves, we are going to be the losers. And this is not something that is just a fantasy world, as we say. It's definitely happening. So therefore it says, ki jo jaga jis kaam ke liye mauzu hai, us jaga agar wo kaam na ho raha ho, to wo jaga fasid samjhi jati hai. مدارس میں دین کی صحیح تعلیم نہ ہو تو مدارس فاسد. خانقاہوں میں اصلاح اور تربیت نہ ہو تو وہ خانقاہ فاسد. غرض دینی مراکز سے علم و عمل, دین و دیانت, تقوی و طہارت کا اہتمام ختم ہو جائے تو یہی ان جگہوں کا فساد ہے. Every institution has got a certain objective. The خانقاہ has got an objective that there must be اصلاح, there must be تربیہ. And if the person is only given wazifa, 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 will that make his islah? Those wazaif are sometimes creating more pride in the person's heart. The more wazifas he is reading, the more proud and arrogant he is becoming. The more holier than thou attitude he is developing. Because his tarbiyah is not made with regards to pride. So what's going to happen? Just that wazifa will bring more pride in him. The person will consider himself holier than the other. But if his tarbiyah was made that the person has been properly reprimanded and shaken whenever the person indulges and engages in anything that is un-Islamic, against the Sharia, against the Quran and Sunnah, and also those evils that are of the heart and the mischief of the heart, pride, arrogance, jealousy, malice, greed. So then if he's going to make read wazifas, it's going to help him, it will make him progress. But if the khanqas are just for wazifas and nothing else, then it is going to create more facade in his life. There has to be sometimes laxative that has to be given to clear out the system of all the toxins and all the dirt and the filth. So the hakim gives laxative. The fasid madda, they say, must come out of the body. So akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I've been sent for that purpose. Perfection of akhlaq, completion of akhlaq. So in any institution, if that is not undertaken for which it was built, then we will say that that is facade of that institution. The madaris have been built for a certain purpose. The Darul Uloom is for a certain purpose. The Masajid for a certain purpose. Now if in those institutions or from those institutions we do not get that for which it was built, then we will say that's the facade of that institution. At present, what do we say when we go to a masjid? We look at the masjid from which angle? We look at the masjid from the angle of beauty, its construction, its chandeliers, its decoration, its structure, its carpets, its light fittings, its wuzukhana, modern day toilet. These are the things that we look for. And we say, beautiful masjid, beautiful masjid. Many a times we go to a new masjid, we don't even make 2 rakat namaz inside there. We just go have a good look at the masjid, say, very beautiful masjid, and we walk out. That is facade. That is the facade. Masjid to bana di shabbar mein ima ki hararat walo ne, man apna purana papi hai, barso mein namazi ban na sake. So that is the facade of the masjid, when no hidayat comes out from there. There is no hidayat. People are coming, they were not getting hidayat. The masjid is empty the rest of the time. On Juma day it gets full. Otherwise it's nothing but the decoration of the masjid. So that is the facade. The people, their lives have become fasid. Aajkal bahut se log aise ho gaye hain ki khalq-e-khuda ke saath eeza aur adrar ka mamla aur sulook ka apna aham kaam samajhte hain aur fitna aur fasad barpa karke khush hote hain. There are many people, see, when they get up, then they are thinking now how to cause harm to somebody else. That is their akhlaq. From the time they get up to the time they go to sleep, then they are plotting and planning. I'm just explaining to you what he has said. They are plotting and planning that this day of ours now, after having made Fajr Salat also sometime, in the first saf, and then read the Tasbih also, Tasbih of Fatimi, and then recited Ayatul Kursi and three Quls and other wazaif. Now the person, or in fact sometimes in that wazifa itself is already planning. But sometimes, if he's a little more pious, then outside the masjid now is planning. That in today's deals, who can I take for a ride? From which person I can borrow and then keep on laughing when he's asking for repayment. We ask him for qarz-e hasana, meaning haste rehna. When somebody asks for the return of payment, then haste rehna. Must just laugh on his face. What a big mistake you made giving me loan. Or in any other way, when they are running a business or they are running a factory or they are running some other kind of industry, then they know what they are doing there. How many of those things that they are doing are not halal, it is not permissible. It is cheating, it is deceiving the person. They know it fully well, but still they will go on and on and on. Why? Because they are getting big returns. Big returns. But they don't know that those big returns, one knock and everything will be wiped out. Or all that which came in through the haram sources, sooner or later, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will pull it out. Then they will say that some jadu has been done. Then they will complain of jadu. That is the jadu, that jadu of haram. So he says, some people, it is just their mizaj, their nature, that they must cause harm to somebody, otherwise the day doesn't pass. You must hurt somebody. You must criticize somebody. You must make ghibat of somebody. You must steal somebody's thing. Or you must cheat, you must deceive, or do something wrong for the day. Otherwise the day is not considered as completed. So if that is not facade, then what else it is? So once again, akhlaq. This akhlaq is something that we are obliged to have in our lives. If we are not going to have it, then as I said, we are going to face the consequence. There will be no happiness. فرماتے تھے کہ کسی شیخ کا اصل تبرک اس کی تعلیمات ہے, ان کو مضبوطی سے پکڑو اور ان پر عمل کرو, بس یہی کارآمد چیز ہے. بغیر ارادہ اصلاح کے محض جسمانی قرب کچھ بھی مفید نہیں. The real تبرک of any شیخ کامل, any اللہ والا, is that you make عمل on his teachings. Because if he is truly an اللہ والا, he is not one of those bogus ones, then he is only going to guide according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What else are his teachings going to be except that which is the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? He is not going to say, go to the rave club or go disco or steal or commit this crime or that crime. Or he is not going to lead on the road that takes to the fire of Jahannam. So the real tabarruk of the person is that you make amal on his teachings. Not just jismani qurb. These days people just take it for granted that if you are physically close, then that is the greatest tabarruk that the person has got. He says, I'm very close to certain Allah wala. I'm very close to certain waliullah. I'm very close to certain great alim, great mufti, great qari. That's all. And what is that very close? That's all. Now and again meet him, make salam, or sometimes give some hadiya. And sometimes request du'as for barakat in business, barakat in the home, barakat in the life. But don't make amal on whatever he teaches. So will barakat come? Barakat is not plentiful. 120 times I have given that example that barakat is not the meaning of plentiful. Flood waters, there's plentiful of water, plentiful of water. Those who have experienced floods, they know what happens at that time. When that water comes into the houses, we have experienced it. When the water comes into the houses, then what happens? All the filth from the toilets and everything else is in that water. And also outside there's dead animals, there's dead cows and dead monkeys and dead donkeys and dead dogs. Everything is washed away in the flood waters. Plenty of filth in that flood waters. Now if somebody is thirsty and he says it's plenty full of water, therefore I got no problem, I'll go on drinking this water. What's going to happen? He's going to die. Bilharzia. Water is plentiful, but it's not good for drinking. So like that, if that plentiful is not coming according to the Quran and Sunnah, it is not halal and permissible, then he's going to bring problems in the person's life. That little which is clean and pure, it will quench the thirst, it will be refreshing. Or you will have to boil that water. So real tabarruk is the teaching. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's real tabarruk is what? It is the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person, if he makes amal on that, then he will get stages in this world and in the akhirat. But if a person has got the Baal Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he has got the Hay Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his possession, it is indeed a tabarruk, it's a great tabarruk. But that is not sufficient. If the person has got Hay Mubarak in his house, and in that same house he's got the television, all the zina and all the drinking, and all the strip clubs and all the night clubs and all the other facade of the television is coming on the screens, and the person has got Baal Mubarak also in the same house, so is that tabarruk? Will that Baal Mubarak save the person? In that same house, if they are not making salat, or if they are not giving zakat, or not going for hajj, or there are people committing zina, so will it save the person? So what is the real tabarruk of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? It is his teachings. That if the person makes amal on the teaching, then he is close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So just jismani qurb, meaning physical closeness, it is not sufficient. Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi se ek shakhs ke mutalliq maine kaha ki Hazrat wo to itne dinon tak falan buzurg ki khidmat mein rahe magar zara bhi unki islah na hui. To farmaya ki mehaz rehne se kya hota hai, jab islah ke irade se koi rahega tabhi to islah hogi. Such a great wali of Allah Taala, Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi. So he was told that a certain person stayed so close to certain buzurg, but no islah was made. He said, just staying close, what difference does it make? If that person did not make the niyat of his own reformation and change in his life, so then how can the person get islah? Physically he can be close, but there is no islah. And the true muhabbat that the Allah Wallahs have with any person is when the person makes his islah. It's not their wealth, it's not their property, it is nothing else. Like that they meet everybody very nicely, cheerfully and happily. But the true muhabbat of the heart is with those people who come with the niyat of islah and they bring about a change and reformation. Otherwise years will go by and the person will be same place. He's not going to make any kind of change in his life. فرماتے تھے کہ اپنے نفس کی اصلاح کر لو تو عزت سے رہو گے ورنہ ہر جگہ ذلیل ہو گے. Bring about a change, improve on your character and اخلاق, improve on your عبادت, on your ذکر, on your تلاوت, and change the condition of your lives. He says then you will stay with dignity, with peace, with happiness. Allah Ta'ala will then put respect into the hearts of the people. And then your homes will also become peaceful. They will respect you in your home too. But if you are not going to do that, har jagah zaleel hoge. People of the house and people in the family and the customers and the people that we have some kind of contact and relationship with, they also, on our faces they may put on a smile, but after that they will say, this person is terrible, terrible. Don't deal with him. Don't give your daughter to him in marriage. Don't travel with him. Distance yourself from him. I've had experience about him. Now that is what they will say after that. So they say, Islah kar lo varna har jagah zaleel hoge. Aur tumhara sab kaam dhara reh jayega. Aur koi bhi kaam na aayega. اور اگر نفس کا تحفہ لے کر خدا کے یہاں جاؤ گے تو وہاں بھی قبول نہیں ہوگا. This nafs is an enemy of the person. I always say that it is easy to go and shoot down a lion in the jungle. Kruger National Park, if a person has got an AK-47, he can shoot down a lion too. He can shoot down an elephant too. But this nafs, which is in our bodies, this nafs, our egos, our evil passions and desires, if we don't learn to shoot that down, then it will shoot us down. It will destroy us. Now these are not things to be just listened to. It's something to implement in our lives. We were discussing nifaq or hypocrisy, which he had mentioned was a sikka raijul waqt. That means hypocrisy is the currency of the time. In every place you find that this currency is something that is in common usage, and that is nifaq or hypocrisy. That the trust is gone. You don't know who to trust anymore. The person cannot trust his own wife, he cannot trust his own children, he cannot trust his neighbors, he cannot trust his closest friend anymore. Then what kind of a life are we leading? If we want happiness, if we want peace, if we want satisfaction in our lives, then our akhlaq has to change. We have to have a large heart, we have to have compassion, we have to have mercy, we have to have kindness. Not that always I must be victorious, I must be above all. Whatever I say must be accepted. We have to learn humility. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. As I explained, that we have to have anger also. Without anger, a person cannot make jihad also. And if something seriously wrong is being done in front of him and he doesn't get angry, then he's not even a good mu'min also. But most of our anger is not for deen, for sharia, for Quran or for sunnah. That people are not obeying and not following and not listening, so therefore we are angry. It's not for that. It's all because of our nafs. That we don't obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, at that time we don't get angry over our nafs. And that is why you will notice that whatever we are indulging in which is sinful, we won't have any kind of anger when somebody else is doing that same thing. The person who is indulging in some kind of sin and openly he is indulging in that, then he won't get anger over somebody else that's doing the same thing. Because that person will straight away point a finger at him, what about you? The person is running a casino. Now can he get angry at another Muslim that's running a casino? So we will always get angry, or generally we'll get angry over a person when he is indulging in a different kind of sin from our kind of sin. Now the person who is making ghibat all the time, then he doesn't get angry over ghibat. Why? Because he's engaging in riba, backbiting. But you will get angry over a person that is indulging in some other kind of sin. So we have to look at our sins also. There is no doubt that we have to express anger, or we must be unhappy of the sins that are committed in the society. And we must make an effort to make the people come out of those sins. But as I explained earlier, that there we have to do it with great love, compassion, mercy, kindness. That we are truly desirous, like how we would advise our son, our own beloved child. That is how we must advise the others also. If a person's own child is going to the casino or indulging in other kind of haram, does he go advertising it? Or does it run him down in front of others? If the child is standing in congregation, will he run him down there in front of everybody? He will look for the right opportunity. Privately he will warn him, advise him. In the same way, if a person is indulging in something that is not right, then advise, give nasihat, but let it be in an appropriate manner. Haq baat, haq tariqe se, or haq mauqe par. The haq baat must be haq tariqe se also. And it must be with ikhlas. Then it is going to have an effect. If not, it is not going to have any effect. We will take on one more. Nasihat. That why are all these problems taking place? One of the major causes of the problems, he says, is that the person does not want to accept when somebody tells him that this is wrong. He feels ashamed to accept it. Pride doesn't allow him to accept it. Whereas, even if that nasihat is from a child or from an enemy or from a person that is disliked by us, but if it is a nasihat which is correct, the person is telling us something that is haq, then we must humble ourselves and accept it. We must not have any kind of arrogance. فرماتے تھے کہ آج کل باہم جو نزاعات میں اس کی بڑی وجہ ایک دوسرے سے توقعات اور امیدوں کی وابستگی ہے. اس لیے کہ جب مخلوق سے کوئی امید اور توقع نہ رکھے اور نظر بس اللہ پر رکھے تو پھر جھگڑا کیسا. مگر آج کل معاملہ یہ ہے کہ بھائی بھائی کے مال پر, دوست دوست کے مال پر, پڑوسی پڑوسی کے مال پر نظر رکھتا ہے اور امید وابستہ کر لیتا ہے, बस जब वो उम्मीद पूरी नहीं होती तो उसके दिल में उसकी तरफ से कबीदगी और रंजिश पैदा हो जाती है, फिर उसका इजहार जुबान से भी होने लगता है और निजाम बढ़ जाता है. एवरी पर्सन हैज गॉट एक्सपेक्टेशन एंड हिज गेज इज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ अदर्स. द फ्रेंड्स गेज इज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ हिज फ्रेंड. ब्रदर्स गेज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ हिज ब्रदर. पेरेंट्स गेज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ द चिल्ड्रन. चिल्ड्रन्स गेज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ द पेरेंट. Everybody has got his gaze on other people's wealth. And they also come to some conclusions beforehand, that now this brother of mine has got great amount of wealth, so whenever I ask him for a loan, he must give. And it is his duty to build a home for me, and to give me a property, and to give me a business, and to provide for me this and provide for me that. Now his gaze is on that person or that brother who has got plenty of wealth. Now when he is not going to get it, then there's going to be jagra. In the same way, when the parents have got great hope on their children, and the parents say that I gave you education and I sent you to the university and I made you qualify in this field or that field, and now when I want help and assistance, you are not giving to me. So that son says that it was your duty as a father, if you gave to me, then what kamal you made in that. The children say like that, इसमें कौन सी दाड़ मार दी तूने, कौन सा कमाल कर दिया. एज अ फादर इट वॉज योर ड्यूटी, यू गेव मी एजुकेशन, बट वट एवर आई हैव अर्न नाउ इट इज ड्यू टू माई ओन हार्ड वर्क एंड एफर्ट. दैट्स वॉट इज गोइंग टू हैपन. बट इफ द पेरेंट्स डोंट हैव दैट गेज ऑन द वेल्थ ऑफ द चिल्ड्रन, दे से इट्स अवर ड्यूटी टू गिव दम एजुकेशन, लेट दम प्रॉस्पर इन लाइफ. And after that, if he gave that child Islam, and if he gave that child Deen, and if he gave that child Quran and Sunnah, then that child will say that whatever it is that I have acquired in life, it is due to that hard work that my father put, and all that money that he spent on my education, and due to all those the sacrifices that they made, today I am able to earn through this profession of mine or through this business of mine. So therefore it's my duty. I am the son, I am the child, they are my parents. Quran and Sunnah has placed obligation upon me that I should be respectful to them. I should respect them, I should serve them, I should help them. So now the child will not have to, the parent will not have to ask. The child will look, where can I spend on my parents? And the same the other way around, that the parents will think that these are my children. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with children. It is His ni'mat, it is His ihsan. So instead of seeking from them, I must spend on them. I must give to them. I must see to it that their necessities of life are fulfilled. Education, clothing, shelter and all the rest of the things. So if we are not going to cast our glances on people's wealth, then there will be peace in our lives. Treasures of Allah Ta'ala, unlimited. Seek from Allah Ta'ala. Then He will put into hearts. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will send those customers. Allah Ta'ala will send it through different sources. Sources unknown to us when we are going to develop taqwa and we are going to have our gaze on Allah Ta'ala's treasures. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the ummah that yaqeen that the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'in had. And may He bless us with that akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Akram al-Akramin, Ya Ghiyath al-Mustaghithin, amare gunahu ka maaf farman. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya, the best of akhirah. Forgive the sins of our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our hands and feet, our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, distance us from nafs and shaitan. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Bless us with the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives, of parents and children, brothers and sisters, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with the sifat of compassion, of mercy, of kindness, of generosity, of charity, of love, of affection, my beloved Allah. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of pride, of arrogance. Oh, my beloved Allah, what have we made of our hearts? Clean and purify our hearts of jealousy. Ya Allah, bless us with the hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqeen. Ya Allah, hum sabko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the problems, the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remove the suffering of entire mankind. Bless the entire mankind with hidayat, with guidance. Bless everyone with Islam and with Iman. Those who have gone for Hajj or are still leaving for Hajj, make it extremely easy for them. Make their Hajj maqbool and mabrur. Remove the obstacles, the difficulties and the hardships. Ya Allah, accept the tawaf, ziyarat, ibadat, duas, the Mina, Arafat and Muzdalifa. Ya Allah, when our time of death comes, don't let the angel of death visit us in a discourse, casino, reef club, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouth, listening to music or glued to some filthy pictures. Ya Allah, let our death be in Madina Tayyiba, burial in Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the desires, the aspirations that are in the hearts of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. Ya Allah, fulfill all their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. And you are well aware of the hardship, difficulties, problems, pain, sickness, diseases that each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night is suffering. With your fazl, with your ihsan, with your kindness, remove those difficulties, pain, suffering and problem. Those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa, whether they're in hospitals, clinics or homes or amongst us. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are journeys, make them reach the destination safely. Those who are in depression, Ya Allah, remove the depression. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا وَشَفِيعِنَا وَمَوْلَانَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.